the Canadian Bitcoiners podcast is just two guys and maybe a guest or two discussing Bitcoin, Bitcoin equities, and the related macroeconomic space. It's not meant to be financial advice, so please, if you're doing any investing after listening to our program, do your own research, do your own due diligence, and understand that any money you invest can be lost. The show is meant for entertainment purposes only, and we hope you enjoy the program. So funny. Columbia International College. What is the address of this place?
I don't have to say, for BTC Pay Server, it's fucking easy to use. I can't believe people out there don't know how to fucking use it. You're a fucking moron if you don't know how to fucking use it. That's all I have to say, because it's just so damn easy to run.
I've not tried it. Someone in the chat was saying they were going to spin one up last week, I think, right? I wonder how that went. I don't know.
You need a node to run it, right? So
I mean, I guess we can't run one then.
Or yeah, right. So gotta get you on that bandwagon. We have
I know.
Yeah, well, I don't want to say too much, but yeah, we'll get some node people on the show in the next little while.
Okay, here it is. Here, I'm gonna pull this up. This is gonna blow your minds, okay? And then I gotta tell you a story about I lost something on the weekend that's important to me and I regret it.
Did you go boating by any chance?
No, I didn't fucking go boating. I went to play football. Let me see here. I wanted to do this during the...
It was fucking cold weekend, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was cold and raining. We played in the rain on Saturday. It wasn't fun. Okay, this is Columbia College. This is it right here. This building is Columbia College. You will notice immediately, listener, viewer, what is on all sides of this. Here,
well, the
on
listener
the,
can't really notice it because it's a...
Yeah, okay. So when Len says you pull up on campus, this is just it's a drive-through, basically. Like, there's honestly Tim Hortons parking lots bigger than this parking lot. And this is where people are, quote unquote, coming over to learn. Come on. Who are we kidding here, man? This is not legit. This is not a legitimate institution. It's not.
And it's generally from the same background from what I can see.
Yeah, it's a lot of Asian students. And so make of this what you will. But I will tell you, I will posit to you that this is a diploma mill is what it is. Come on, Len. We never see like... You know, move-in day in the West End, right? All the kids are there. All the university students are there. They're unpacking their stuff. It's a zoo over at McMaster. This place, dead. You know, Christmas time, people leaving. This place, dead. Again, if you Google this, Columbia International College, you can see literally there is a highway exit. Like,
we should have went there for
Frosh
Week.
It's this traffic light right here. This is a highway exit. Like, it's literally on the corner of a fucking highway exit, man. There's no schools that are like this. There's no schools that are like this.
I have nothing to say. It's a perfectly legitimate school, at least according to whoever, right? Whoever's saying that they could run.
Oh, man.
So it's got to be, I guess, rubber stamped by the province. So the Ministry of Education, I'm guessing, has something
to do with it. So I was listening to some stuff the other day, or reading some stuff the other day, I should say, and apparently the province has a say in how many international students get to come over. I think they approve, and then the country approves second. So province, then feds. And I think at some level, someone was basically accusing the province of Ontario of being the root cause of the international student problem, because they approve, and then the Fed approves everyone that they approve.
I saw that, and it's an auto approval. So this is the accusation is, once they're admitted into a school, then they automatically get approved for a study permit to come here.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true or not. I have no fucking clue, but that's the accusation.
Mm. Yeah. So interesting.
That could be driving up numbers. And yeah.
On the weekend,
what'd you lose?
I lost my wedding band.
Oh.
Playing football. Usually I wear it to football, and on the weekend it was raining. And so I don't know if you guys ever played football, you know, like, to stop us, especially if you got a good quarterback, to stop a spiral.
I can't believe you're playing with a ring on.
I usually play with gloves. I usually play with gloves on, like cutters. They're called basically snips. You'd call them if you're, you know, the part in the.
But have you ever seen an injury when it rips the skin off the?
It's not gonna happen. It's not gonna happen playing touch, and so it doesn't usually bother me because the gloves are over top of it. But in the rain, you can't really wear the rubberized gloves because they get too slick. The ball is slick, and you
got to go
catch.
Back to the '80s. You stick them.
I was using. I've seen Stickum before. My buddy's father was the defensive line coach at Mac, and so when we were playing flag football in grade school, we didn't drop anything. And my buddy used to just like
everybody was using Stickum
legs off guys with his two fingers, his index fingers.
People get stuck to each other.
Yeah, that's crazy. And so what I used to have was a pair of tackified receiver gloves. Like work, they're almost like clay, sort of. And so in the rain, they almost get stickier. And I don't know where they are. I lost them years ago and I never needed them again because usually if it's raining, I just play in bare hands. But I haven't played in bare hands in the rain probably since I got married. And this weekend, for whatever reason, I had my bare hands on. I must have forgot to take the ring off because there's a couple of times where I made catches in traffic and there's a lot of hands kind of flying around. And I don't remember losing the ring, but also it's not in my bag. I didn't give it to my wife before the game. It's not in my center console. Like the places I would usually leave my wedding.
You know what,
football,
Joey? I have a children's metal detector. You can use it. You can, no problem. It will work to find.
I honestly said to Kenzie after the game, I'm like, I got half a mind to go back to the field because I know there's two plays specifically where I hit the turf making plays. And I thought like those are the time, like in traffic, that's where it would happen. But anyway, so
borrow it. It works fine for finding shit like this. It will find anything metal. If you think it's in the area, it just you got to go back and forth.
I don't know. I might go look. I called my insurance company today and it's like I can get it replaced via insurance. But honestly, what I'll probably do is I'll go to the guy who made it. He's like a family friend and I want to get a gold chain as well. So maybe I'll just see if he'll do me a favor and do both for a decent price for me and be done with it. And whatever, like that's the last time I'm going to buy like a shitty tungsten one or whatever off Amazon and just wear that around and then wear that other one out or
so
whatever.
Back to the injury thing, if it's gold because it's a softer metal, it's easier to take off. I'm not sure if tungsten has the same type of properties where it's
tungsten easy. Is super super heavy,
so you may, because I know people were using stainless steel and stuff like that, and if you ever had an injury you got almost cut off the finger so yeah, getting, I don't know, man. Because you can tell I don't wear.
Like if I'm doing stuff like at the gym, I take it off. I don't wear it to the gym. I honestly barely wear it anywhere. And I said that to Kenzie today. I'm like, the next one I get, because I had like a pretty thick one. I don't know why I bought that one. It was like brushed gold in the middle with like beveled edges that were different texture. And I said to her today, I'm like, if I get another one, I'll just get a small regular like ring, not anything fancy without
just
any
tattoo. You know,
yeah, I don't know. That's maybe
the best way. I was thinking, dude, that's the best. Is that way just I don't have to wear it? There's no injuries or anything.
I'm not getting a tat, but it's just such a pain. And like the insurance company, God bless them, I've never had to use my insurance company for anything. So it's good to talk to them today and get that out of the way. But
it's good to get them before they close shop. Remember we talked last week.
That's right. They won't be able to afford it pretty soon. Also, gold about to go to $5,000 an ounce here if this keeps up. So they won't be able to keep that volleyball underwater either. Pretty soon that's gonna happen too.
Has it crossed 2K?
It hasn't, but that's one of the reasons I want to get a gold chain, honestly, because I want to have precious metals because I'm Italian and it's part of my DNA, my genetics. If I see a wheelbarrow full of wet cement, I got to stir it. And also I need to have a chain on at all times. So those two things got to happen in the next little while. And if I come to your house, I'm not going to take my shoes off unless you tell me. That's the third thing Italians like to do. So
you're going to come and do some cement work on my house when we have to get.
Sure.
It's a tough, tough gig, man. Especially
there was a couple of like odd jobs I had growing up, and I dated a girl whose father owned a curb company in Hamilton. I won't say which one, a concrete company / curb company. And I did, when I was working at Zeller's, if I had an afternoon shift, I would go out with him in the morning and do pools. And all we did was pour the concrete, me and like another guy. It was either another guy in the neighborhood or one of the guys who worked for the company. That is fucking hard work. It is really hard work. And I was only like 17 at the time or 18. It was brutal. Absolutely brutal way to spend a morning. You get up at 5, coffee's in your belly by 5:30, and you're pouring by 6. Because they knew the concrete truck drivers, the cement truck guys, right? So early in the morning, man, but you're done. It's a hard day's work, but you're done by 11 or 12 most days. So,
yeah, I got my driveway's concrete. I remember when they did it, just brutal work, man.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah. Whatever. Zelda.
Yeah.
You got to play it.
Right now I'm playing, I was actually playing a little before the podcast, Starfield, which is So good. I love Bethesda games so much.
I downloaded that, but I haven't played it.
It's great. You got to get through the first little while. People are complaining it's not quote unquote open world. I guess.
It's not?
It's not like you can't walk from one end of the quote unquote world to the other. There's different planets and stuff. So you got to move between planets, but it's still, it's as good a game as I've ever played. It's definitely a lot of fun. I'm really enjoying it. And the story's pretty good so far too.
I can't believe you're not playing Zelda though. I will play a good game.
I keep on telling myself that like one weekend I'll just do nothing but play video games. So I don't have time. I don't have any time.
I finally finished that game. And it was brutal, the ending. Like the last boss, just it was a marathon.
I'll tell you what I've done so far. I did like the big stuff. There's a fight like with a bird on a ship in the air. I did that fight. And right now I'm doing the fire temple underground. That's where I am. But I haven't done anything else. I've done nothing else.
And Yumbo, whatever his name is. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. I haven't done anything else.
So yeah, I mean you're progressing, and obviously those are replacing the champions from Breath of the Wild.
Exactly.
And it's really good. Like the story is still phenomenal. Like finishing it, like I had a good time playing it, and I'm still going back, and I'm trying to finish all the shrines. I got like 130-ish shrines done.
Oh my god, 130.
Yes, I think I have between two and five, I'm guessing, left. That's my guess. I know where they are. I just have to somehow, like, I don't want to say too much.
Don't.
Yeah, so, like, I'm almost finished. And then in the underworld, and I did this really, really early on. I basically mapped out the whole overworld, like the main level, and then the underworld.
The towers,
too.
Right?
Yeah. I got all the towers and then most of the shrines. I didn't even finish them. I just, you know, mark them, and then I went to the under level and I got all those, I guess, well, I forgot what they're called, the roots or the trees that shine the areas.
Exactly.
Those
plants. Yeah.
I got every one but one. There's one I can't get. There's no way for me to get it. And it's so fucking frustrating. And I can't get it. So that is like, oh, and I guess somehow figure that out. And then I'm trying to finish all the quests.
Maybe I'll play it tonight or tomorrow. It's, I don't know.
The story is so fucking good. I'll say that the story in Breath of the Wild slightly better.
Yeah,
that's always the case.
The first one's always better.
Well, you know what? Because this is a continuation of, you could say like, there's some similarities, but enough differences. You know, like the world itself, and I don't know how much you explored the world, but there's similarities, but enough subtle differences. You could tell.
Yeah,
that
of course. And, yeah.
I fucking adore that. Like there is continuity here that you never had in a previous Zelda game. And when I first played the Tears of the Kingdom, I was able to map out everything because of the knowledge in my head from playing Breath of the Wild. And I knew where everything was just by playing the first game. So I could just go there, get the shrines, get the city or the villages and go from there. So I love that aspect, but it's fucking huge, that game. Like the fact that they put the underworld and then the overworld Sky Islands. Too.
Yeah.
And it's not that large, the Sky Islands, but it's just large enough, and it creates an added challenge too. And some of the things you could build, oh, it's so fucking cool, this stuff.
One thing I haven't really got into, the building yet. That's my next kind of, I think that's the next endeavor, because it seems to me like I'm being held back by my lack of willingness to actually build stuff.
And I didn't start building until very, very recent. And when I started building stuff, there are grandiose things that are just so like over the top.
Have you seen the videos on YouTube shorts of the guys who are building like the top spinning arena things? Like, have you seen this?
I've seen some things, but I didn't see that one in particular.
It's absolutely insane. He like basically burns down two fuses and like unleashes these two and like the frame rate drops to one frame per second. It's unbelievable. Because these things are fucking gigantic and they're just crashing into each other over and over again.
I just like making very planes that have so much. I don't want to say too much. But it enables you to get around.
Engine power. Yeah.
No, there's more than that. There's more than that.
Okay, don't spoil it.
Exactly. I just like building shit like that. And it's so fucking cool. Oh, and the dragons too. Like how the dragons are now intertwined. It wasn't
Only seen a couple of the dragons. I haven't fought the dragons. Don't tell me anything about the dragons.
Well, they exist, obviously. Yeah, if you play the first game, you've seen them in the second game. They're the same, but they're not part of the storyline in the first game. Mm. They're just added effects, right? They're just background scenery. But in this one, they're part of it, which is really cool because now you could intertwine with them and you know, there's a story behind it. Fucking phenomenal. And then once you finish the game, like with Breath of the Wild, I was able, like, through all the cutscenes, like the memories, I was able to figure things out very easily. But with Tears of the Kingdom, it was until after I finished the game, then it all clicked to me, the whole thing, which was, I actually liked that. But Breath of the Wild was really easy. It was more simple, the story, although I think it was slightly better overall.
I'm slightly shorter, too. I'm going to leave you with this, okay? Because I want to go watch football. But if you like those stories, you have to play the two most recent God of War games. You absolutely must.
I still have a God of War that's unopened.
You have to play it. You have to play it. It's like a 20-hour campaign. If you burn right through, no side quests, it's like 20 hours.
I played the first one, and I played it a little bit. Just something about it never appealed to me. It never drew me to play it again. I played a little bit of it. It was fun. It was like, you know, a hack game, but it just seemed too linear.
No.
If you know, does it open up?
Oh yeah.
Okay, because the first bit is just so linear.
No. There's fucking tons. My brother, I won't spoil it for you, but my brother and I both played that game. Excuse me, when it came out, and he had a completely different experience than I did playing the game, and he came over to check out my whatever the Kratos build that I had finished the game with, and he didn't have any of the stuff. There was entire like 8, 9, 10 hour overworld regions that he never even found, and he beat the entire game. There's an entire secondary, more difficult mission set that he didn't find. All this stuff. Anyway, okay. God bless everybody. Len's gonna play God of War. I'm gonna play Zelda, and I'm gonna watch Monday Night Football. I understand Aaron Rodgers just got hurt. Mark, to answer your question, the answer is I neglect my wife. That's where I find time for all these things. Okay, so until then, we'll talk to you Wednesday. Take care of yourselves.
Yeah, take care, PBN. Of course, don't be a cock.